Alright. Psalm 143:15. Don't forget, I already recommended some teachings that we have in time past regarding this particular topic. And it's, especially if you were not there in those times, it's very beneficial for you to go back and listen. And as we trust God to broaden His word in our hearts. And I believe this particular session is very vital in the dialect of Prophet 6. From a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus, all Scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work, or unto all good works. And we said that the knowledge of the Scriptures, which we said to know means that to appreciate, to see it properly for what it is. And Paul is telling Timothy that you have seen it properly. You know, you have seen it properly. When you see Genesis to Malachi in the light that God wants you to see it, what you come out with will be a skill that explains the work of God. A skill that can explain the work of God. The truth is, there is no book of literature that was written thousands of years ago that will be convenient for you to read. It will always take labor. It will always take persistence. I was watching a bit of a debacle between a theologian and an atheist. And the atheist she was like, you know what, I don't doubt God. I don't doubt His existence. I don't even doubt this Jesus you claim that came and all of that. Just give me His medical records. And I thought that was stupid. And the theologian said, He doesn't have medical records. There were no medical records in those days. Then the atheist said, that's convenient for you to say. And then the man went and said, what's convenient is your stupidity. Where is the medical record for Aristotle and Plato and Hercules and all of those ancient Greek accepted people now? You know, everybody accepts that there's an Aristotle, there's a Plato. You know, you didn't ask for their medical records. You relied on eyewitness accounts, what people put down, that, oh, this is what they did. And you accepted it. But suddenly, when it came to Jesus, the eyewitness accounts were fake. No. I said that just on the side, just to show you that there is no book that was written as far back as that time, that you would not have to be very industrious to understand. So it is absolutely normal if people read Genesis to Malachi and they have questions. It's absolutely acceptable when you see seeming contradictions. Nobody should tell you that, oh, there are no contradictions. As it were, you, on the surface of it, you probably see contradictions. Like we said last week, or last time out, not last week, that you see somewhere, God is the one that is saying, I'll give you the flesh of your enemies to eat, and the blood of your enemies to drink, and you'll be drunk with wine. Where is the nexus? Like sweet wine. And the same Jesus, the same God, then says, don't revenge. And you're wondering, which should I go for? And this series is meant to explain, as it were. And I think we've done a good job so far, right? Right? Have we done a good job? Okay. Where we have been able to see so far, let's bring out the motifs that we have done so far. Because after this teaching today, I'm planning to round it up today. If I don't, then let's fix us where it is. And we looked at the motif of the helper, right? Well, that's where I started from. That there will be an helper. The helper will not arise except there is what? Eh? There's danger or there's an enemy in view, right? And the first mention of the helpmeet, which is Genesis 2, verse 18 and verse 21, where God said, it is not good for man to be alone, and we've explained the alone in this series. It's not good for man to be alone, I will provide for him help. And we explained that the alone doesn't mean that you are alone in the room, or being single. You know, people think that it's not good for man to be alone, I will give him a woman. If you are married, you can still be alone. Amen.
She don't die. There are people who are married and it's as though they are not married. You know?
Alright. I don't want to say this one. Alright. So, it's not talking about being single or being married. The alone means to be helpless. We've seen that before. We've seen that, over a few authors, a few texts by the prophet. Have we? Come on, have we? Alright, alright. So we look at the alone. It needs to be stranded to be without help. Alright. And then we also look at the motif of the Yasha in the Hebrew, who is the Sota in the Greek, right? The help. And we said, that is a mighty man. Don't forget, we took this from that 2 Timothy 3:15 where it says, salvation through faith which is in Christ. We said that's what you bring out from Genesis to Malachi. And we said by saying salvation, you have implicated a savior. And the Greek, the root word for that savior, it carries the one who uses a sword, the one who goes to war. And so there's no way you're going to talk about salvation and you're not going to talk about a fight. And you're not going to talk about a battle. And that took us to the numerous battles Israel fought. And as a younger person, I used to wonder why, like I said last time, why God always backed Israel. Then I discovered later that it was not always. Then I discovered later before then that it was not just Israel. So I had to go into the study to look at who is God backing to fight him. Who is God backing? And we're able to now we started to trace the bias from, of course, the genesis of things. Because the beginning always tells the story. So we looked at Genesis and we said the first time God was going to stand up was for Abel. He stood up for Abel and said, where's your brother? And Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is. And God said, the blood of your brother is crying out from the ground. Now this is absolute theology. Absolute theology. And you do yourself good for the coming decades to listen well tonight. And God said, the blood of your brother cries from the ground. And God said, because of what you've done, you'll be a vagabond in all of the earth. No man have put a mark upon you. No man will do that. And Cain said, you have cursed me. You have cursed me. And thanks to Cain, he explained what the curse would mean, which you have looked at, arar, A-R-A-R in the Hebrew. He explained that the curse would be for God to hide his face. He says, look at Genesis 4. Let's look at it. We've got a long way to go tonight. Are you sleeping? I thought someone said, yes, sir. Genesis 4, verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me out of this day from the face of the earth. And from your face shall I be hid. From your face shall I be hid. And that explains verse 11. You are cursed from the earth. You are cursed from the earth. And Cain says, that means I'll be hid from your face. And we saw that in multiple references. I think the session before this one. Alright? So we didn't have much information till Abraham came. And Abraham, God called Abraham just like he called you and I. And he said, get out of your, Genesis chapter 12 verse 1, get out of your land, your father's land, into a land that I'll show you. And we said, that is the call of God. If you listen to our teaching, Hope of His Calling, it explains this one very well. And we said that the call of God was what Abraham experienced in Genesis 12. Where God will call you from the natural to His plan. He will call you from, of course, Paul will explain that in Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Paul will explain in Galatians 1 where he said, God who has called me out from my mother's womb. Who has ordained me from my mother's womb. And that's not talking about being a prophet. Oh, God now anointed him from the womb. No. He's saying that God has called me out from nature. From what I would naturally give myself to. From the affections that naturally entice me. Which was, of course, killing the church. Persecuting. He said, God has called me out and ordained me from my mother's womb. Again, that doesn't mean that babies are ordained in the womb. That means God separated him from the natural. Does that make sense? And that's what you see in Genesis 12. So, get out of the land where I will show you. And God told him in verse 2, Genesis 12, that I will make of you a great nation. And in that nation shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. which we said is the nation Isaac? Nah. Is the nation Jacob? No. Even as much as Israel, Jacob is Israel. The nation is in Christ. Of course, Peter will come in 1 Peter 2, 9 and say, the holy nation faces the church and says, you are the royal priesthood. Is it making sense? A peculiar people, a holy nation, a people called, it's a called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Is that what happened to Abraham? Genesis 12:1. Is that Genesis 12:1? Called out of darkness into marvelous light. Is that what happened to every believer at salvation? Colossians 1:13 and Colossians 1:14. He has called us from darkness into the kingdom of his son. He has redeemed us with the blood. We have forgiveness of sins through his blood. Alright? Colossians 1:13 and 14. Alright, so again, God told Abraham. Then in verse 3, Genesis 12, we now have much information. I'll bless them that bless you. And I'll curse them that curse you. And we said this is almost like the spine for the battles. This explains the bias. This explains why a side, regardless of whether they were prepared or not, they tended to win. They were more probable to emerge victorious because God already promised Abraham something. I'll bless them that bless you and I'll curse them that curse you. And we said, both the blessing and the curse are dependent on one factor. Is the factor Abraham? Eh? Is the factor being Israelites? What is the factor? The promise, the seed. In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So if I side with the seed, I have sided with God. Because in the seed is where God's help is. In the seed is where God's help is. And so if I side with the promise and the story and the revelation of the seed, then I side with God's help. Which we said, the blessing and the curse of God will be what? God's presence by his spirit and God's absence. So don't see that, someone has said, I'll curse those who curse you, that God even curses. You'll be shocked at things you hear. That this is a biblical, biblical is different from biblical. This is a biblical backing. You're just looking for something to back what you do in the flesh normally. So this is a biblical backing that we can curse others. And you're a pastor. And you want to curse people. Say, because even God said, I will curse them that curse me. Say, so, I don't want to disturb God. As you are cursing me, before God curse you back, I will have returned it to you. No. The curse there is God hiding his face. I will curse them that curse you. How do you curse God? Or how do you curse Abraham? And is it? He said, it's to despise. And it's a funny word because naturally just looking at it in English like that, I curse them, I curse you. You will not find out. You probably just think it means to speak against, which of course, speaking against will just be an element in the curse. Or an element in the looking down. But you observe that the same word was used in the days of Noah, in Genesis 8, where it says, and Noah sent a dove to see if the waters were abated, if the waters had gone down. And he says, that's the word curse. Kalal, right? Q-A-L-A-L, right? In the Hebrew. And it says, to look down. We saw it also with Agar and Sarah. When Agar now gave birth, when she conceived, she now started to look down on her mistress. Imagine if they look at, they said she started to curse her mistress. You know, they thought that she said something. She didn't say anything. It was in her heart. She didn't say anything. So, it's not even about sometimes what you say. To curse the seed can be in intentions, can be in thoughts. Alright? So, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. So we said, God's presence and God's absence have a determinant. The promise. The promise. And we said, that set a tone for Israel. God did not just like Israel because he wanted just a nation. Of course, Israel is the representation of the church. We have seen that before. But you can just read Romans 9. And let me just give you some text. Romans 9, Galatians 3:29, Galatians 4:28. In Ephesians 2, you also see that we are no longer strangers to the Commonwealth of Israel. Because the true Israel of God, why I'm not dwelling on it much now is because we have done it before, and I also have a teaching I'm preparing that will address this one properly, the Israel of God. Because I think we should look at it. Okay, so where was I? So he said, of course, God did not just side with Israel because, oh, I have to side with someone. No, because salvation will come from the Jews. Jesus said that in John 4, that salvation will come from the Jews. I'm trying as much as possible not to mention verses again. So I just want to say John 4, Colossians 1. Because I think verses can derail issue. In fact, the chapter God says is just so that it's organized. As I just said, Jesus said in John, or in, as he said in Colossians, go and read everything. That should be the attitude. Amen. Is that clear? Sell leaders. It's a different thing when you want to call somewhere to read. But when you're teaching, Jesus said in John 4, go and read it. Yes. John 4, so you want to write the verse? No. Go and read the conversation. That's how you understand it. Is that clear? So, Jesus said in John 4 already that the salvation, or better put, the Savior will come from the Jews. Alright? So again, because of that factor of the Savior is from the Jews, you will have God support Israel. Because His plan must be fulfilled. So, Israel, they win because of God's presence. Which you said that's God's blessing. Which you said that's the Spirit of God, right? Come on, last time we looked at the blessing. We said that's the inheritance. Don't forget. Abi? The blessing of God is inheritance. Is that not what Isaac gave, Jacob? The blessing of God. And we said, that blessing is the inheritance, according to the prophet, and that inheritance, in the New Testament word, will be the Spirit. Is the earnest of our inheritance. Ephesians 1:14. Ephesians 1. Alright, so, so, we already have a synergy of the blessing, the inheritance, the presence, the curse. We have a very solid understanding of it now. Abby? Okay, good. So we said people lost wars not because they are terrible people. For example, we saw people who are more prepared for the war. And then God would just tell Gideon, drink from water. They were just very weird things that they did. Oh yeah, start marching. Just like not be like you not do anything. I said it before, that even when you have God's help, when you pray to God to get a bus, you have to run to catch the bus. Is that clear? You don't pray to get a bus, catch a bus, and then you start strolling. When you are prayed, you run to catch the bus. Is that clear? So, even though God was with them, you know what God would do? Yeah, march. Because I still have to see that you still believe in me. So what they start marching. First day, second day. Then third day. You know, if you are part of the army, and you say, ah, this is Jericho, we'll enter, we'll fight, we'll kill. And then Joshua say, no. I have a strategy. Nuclear bomb, Abby. Say nuclear bomb. So that's not going to come to 2020. So what are we now going to do? We will march. Ever since you went to that mountain, I have noticed something. You say nonsense a lot. Apologies, you are a man of God, Mr. Joshua. Say, we will start marching. You say, oh, maybe he wants just, you know, the way footballers train before match. They will start jogging. And even Chelsea fans, Chelsea players, Amari players, they were jogging like this on Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I spoke by faith on Sunday, even though I was watching it with my heart in my mouth. Oh, we bless God for victory always. Amen. You know, so even people that will lose. You know, I was watching their training, mind you. And they were training. I said, these people are training to lose. Because God is with His people. Amen. You get it? Alright. So, you know, and they said marching. And then, at the particular time, Joshua said, bring out your trumpet. Oga? He said, believe the Lord. Believe the Lord. Believe the Lord of hosts. He said, oh God. As we know, we are even bored from the marching. So, you get trumpets there. They start playing. And on the seventh day, the wall fell down. How about that? They didn't do anything spectacular. What did Moses do to defeat Pharaoh? Nothing. They didn't start making weapons. No. God will just give his instruction to steal a certain faith, because faith is the bias. Faith is the bias. We looked at that with Rahab, Abby, in Joshua 2. Right? We looked at that with Rahab, where she eat the spies, and then they came to her, the government came to her, where are the men you eat? She said, I don't know what you're talking about. And her faith was counted to her for righteousness. We now saw her in the Hall of Faith, in Hebrews 11. So again, faith is the bias. Who does God side? The one who has faith. What did Moses do? Nothing. God just said, you believe me? Keep moving. Then they kept moving and moving. See, they got to the shore of the sea. And Moses said, I understand the keep moving part, but God, I know that the world is small to you, but the one we are seeing in front of us is a sea. I know you cannot see a sea. You just see a cup of water. Okay, God is a sea. A sea means that if I enter it, I drown. God said, what is in your hands? As how? He said, a staff. He said, then use it. The Bible says he stretched it, and the sea gave way. They didn't do anything. And then they kept walking. Imagine walking, and then you have a wall of water to your left and to your right. How about that? And then, how did they defeat Pharaoh? Nothing. The sea closed back. Why? Because those who were of faith have gone. Not that God wanted to destroy. Faith is the bias. Faith closed the door. Unbelief closed the door. Something like that. How many of you get what I just said now? Alright, so again, his absence closed the door. His presence parted the waters. Wall will close the waters. His absence. What did Pharaoh do? Despise the sea. And we have seen that over and over again. So we said there's that war. Immediately you start looking at from the promise in Genesis. Look at that promise in Genesis. That Genesis 3:15 promise. The seed of the woman, you will bruise at you, but he will crush your head. That's what God told us happened in Genesis 3. He will crush your head. So again, from that beginning, listen very well. The redemption story is enveloped in a war. Is enveloped in a fight. That means something will happen. A fight will occur. So you cannot see war and say what's happening. Mm-mm. Those wars, those battles were allegories, were physical analogies of what is going to happen and how faith is going to trump unbelief. You with me? So we said, open to 2 Chronicles. So Israel won because God was with them. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you learn something? In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14. Then upon Jazal, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah. Remember Benaiah? Huh? The teaching is out today. What discipleship does for you. Is he out? Oh. The son of Jael, the son of Mataniah, the Levite, the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of congregation and said, hearken ye all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord, don't be afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Can you see that? So, you see what God now told them? In the morrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them by the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You don't need to fight this battle. Set yourself, just stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. You see that? See that the Savior is with you. Stand still and see that the Yasha. Stand still. Don't forget, we said, don't forget, in the earlier part, we looked at Yasha as a verb and Yasha as a noun. You see where it's coming? Uh-huh. See that the Yasha is with you. This is nominal. This is a person. See that salvation of the Lord is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not. Don't be dismayed. Tomorrow, go against them. The Lord will be with you. So they won not because they were really very skillful. No. The Lord, the helper is with you. And the moment you mention helper, there is war. And we'll see how that influences our day-to-day living now. Alright? In Exodus 14, at that sea, in verse 14, God told Moses, or Moses told them, he said, hold your peace. The Lord will fight for you. Be still and know that I am God. Hold your peace and the Lord will fight for you. In Hebrews 11:34, he mentioned how they shot the mouth of lions. Hebrews 11, let's read that one. Because it's very vital. Verse 32, what shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Can you see that? Is that clear? Who what? Not, they didn't fight. It's not like they subdued kingdom because they were smart. You know, it's true faith. Faith was the bias. Who through faith subdued kingdom. I mean, is it clear now? Let me see your hands if it's clear. Alright, good. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, was valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the enemy, of the stranger, of the alien. Alright? But all of that was true faith. So, you will see that one of the numerous names of God in the prophets, like we looked at the last time when we were looking at the glory of God, right? Abi? Alright. We looked at Jehovah Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Last time we looked at that, when David said, you have come to me with swords. He said, I don't have swords. I don't have a spear. I don't have any arrow. I have come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defy. Again, so, the Lord of hosts, is he the Yasha? Eh? Is he the Ezar? Eh? Is the help? Is the savior? Is the Lord. Good. Alright, so you see that in Psalm 148 verse 2, praise him all his angels, praise him all his hosts. In Daniel 7:10, which is also 1 Kings 22:19. Oh, we'll not have time to look at that. Isaiah also identifies him as that the Lord of hosts is our Redeemer. The Lord of hosts is our helper. In Isaiah 47 verse 4. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. That is, Israel as a nation has a Holy One. Israel as a people is just because of one person. There's one person who is winning the fight for them. And if they are not careful, they will not even win it. Because the fight is won by faith. Thank you. The fight is won by faith. How many of you understand that the fight is won by faith? You understand it? Good. Pastor, let me see you understand. Alright? So, as for the Lord of hosts, he's our Redeemer. That's why our Redeemer is the Lord of hosts is his name. In Isaiah 44, verse, I'm not sure. It's not in my notes. Yeah. Verse 6. Thus hear the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I'm the first and the last. Beside me, there is no God. The King of Israel. So the King of Israel, every King of Israel, was meant to just stand in as what? As the Yasha. As the Yasha, as the one that is meant to go to war, to lead them to war. Because they will not see God, right? So there will be someone who will lead them to war and will be the unvanquished. He will be the victor. Every king of Israel is meant to be that. And that's why you see that the one who was full of faith, David, never lost one. Not because he was skillful. How do you explain a 17-year-old fighting a bear and a lion? Faith. Is it clear? Faith was the factor. Alright? So look at Isaiah 54. Verse 5. For your maker is your husband. How about that one? How about that one? Your maker is your husband. So, that means you are not single. If you say you are single, you are not single. When you wake up in the morning, you say, my maker is my husband. How about that? What about wife? The Lord of hosts is his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I think by now, everything is converging. Is that clear? Abi, the Holy One of Israel, salvation is of the Jews, that Holy One of Israel is the Redeemer. Is that a Genesis 3 promise? The one who will redeem humanity? The Lord of hosts is his name. He will do that by fighting. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. That's the promise. He will do it by winning wars. Of course, the physical battles are not the real deal. The physical battles are just representations, analogy. They will have still died. Whether Israel or not. But that was God's way of telling you that faith trumps in the world. Does that make sense? So it emphasizes God's power to deliver. His kingdom will be help and deliverance. And you see that Jesus also did that in his earthly ministry. But before we go that, before we go there, let's come home. So far, we have said there will be a redeemer for humanity. Right? And God made the promise himself in Genesis 3. Abi, that redeemer will be who? The Holy One of Israel. Who is who? David? The Christ. Abi? He will be called their redeemer. And he is the Lord of, as for our redeemer, he is the Lord of hosts. Don't forget Isaiah 47 verse 4. Isaiah 47. Right? As for our Redeemer, he is the Lord of hosts. Meaning, he would redeem by fights. By war. So, that man that said before that, I'm not a man of love. I'm a war. He's right. I'm just kidding, you know. Stupid. Alright, so, he would do it by war, he would do it by fights. Okay? Okay. And look at how David describes the events of redemption. In Psalm 22. He describes it in very graphical terms. My God, why have you forsaken me? That rings a bell, right? Eh? Alright, good. Psalm 22 verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you far from me? And from the words of my roaring. Oh my God. I cry in the daytime, but you did not hear me. And in night season, I am not silenced, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in ye. They trusted in you and you delivered them. Again, in this account, what you have is a mix, David and prophecy. Don't forget we said, you have to rightly divide. And to know what is God's inspiration among man's writing. He is foreseeing the redemption. What Jesus will do and what will happen to Jesus. But he will be mixing it with his own expectation, groanings, call it, I don't know how to put it, yearnings, alright? So, our fathers trusted in you. They trusted in you that, and thou delivered them. This is David's word. I wish, whenever we have a seminar next, what I will do is that, we just mark David, Christ. How many of you watched the 1999, primaries? Ekweme, Obasanjo? Jesus. You watching? The primaries, Ekweme, Obasanjo, Ekweme. It was very funny because the man could not pronounce Obasanjo, he was saying Obasanjo. And you didn't watch it. Okay. So, you will be able to say, this is David, this is Christ, this is David, this is, yes. Because in the words, you'll be able to actually pick it as a good Bible student. Alright? Alright, our fathers, verse 4, our fathers trusted in you, they trusted and you delivered them. They cried unto you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise of the people. All that see me laugh at me, they laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lip. They shake their head saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou did make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. So, every time you see Ezra, there is trouble. Is it making sense? Alright? Many bullies have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan, they have beset me round. These are experiences of the Redeemer. He will go through this. Many bulls have encompassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan were strong and have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths. And as a ravening as a roaring lion, I am poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joint. Did this happen to Jesus? Yes. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. This never happened to David. Nobody did. You did not burn your forefathers well to go near David and say you want to pierce his hands. He's a man who never lost a war. But see what he's saying. And that shows you the dialects of the prophets. They will talk like it's happening to them, yet it is not them. You will have to put on the lens of theology. The lens of inspiration of God. How that you know that all these things about, this book is about salvation through faith. So you have to look at it. Is he talking about himself? And that's why, that's the question that man has, that Ethiopian Enoch. When, Philip came to the chariot, and he said, what are you reading? He said, I'm reading one book of Isaiah. And he said, he's saying something, and is he speaking of himself or another? You must always ask that question. If you're reading a prophet, you must ask, is he talking, this is Acts 8, I just referenced Acts 8 now. Is he speaking for himself or another? In this case, is David speaking for himself or another? Thank you. Verse 16. For those that surrounded me, the assembly of you guys that enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They have parted my garments. That is Jesus. They parted his garments and they started throwing lot. Abi, they were betting on it now. Abi, remember? He said, they parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my venture. Vestures. Do you know the people that were doing that day, they didn't know they were fulfilling prophecy. He just came there and said, let's bet now, let's bet for these clothes. Because the clothes that he was clothed with was royal. The king, he said, you are the king of the Jews now, clothe him with the king, the king clothes, but you will die. He said, they look upon me, they mock me, they shoot their lip. So, of course, and if you see good clothes and he's about to die, what's the next thing? Who will take the clothes? Abi? So, he decided to cast lots. But David already saw this thousands of years before. They cast lots upon my vestures. Verse 19. Be not far from me, O Lord. You are my strength. Make haste to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword. My darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. Almost like David. Almost like Samson. Because sometimes their experiences also mimic it. Like Abraham. Alright? Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast held me from the horns of the unicorn. I will declare your name unto my brethren. Brethren will be a resurrection word, definitely. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorifying, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. I think those words should be heavy now in your head. The seed of Jacob, the seed of Israel. Alright? For he has not despised, nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither have he hid his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. So if he has not hid his face from him, that means the person is blessed. Are you? Alright, good. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. And all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's. And he is the governor among the nations. Is this Matthew 28 verse 18? Huh? All authority is given to me. Of course, that will happen after the bulls and Bashan have surrounded me. That will happen after my lot has been torn. That will happen after my bones are stirred upon me. After my heart is melted like wax. Verse 27. The ends of the world will now remember and turn to the Lord. Of course, that will be in the preaching of the gospel. You go into the world and preach the gospel. Whosoever believes is saved. And all the kingdom of nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord and is the governor upon the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the door shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. He shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he has done this. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack this one. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. So primarily, you are looking at a resurrection dialogue. Is it dialogue or monologue now? Huh? He's talking to himself. Monologue. He's standing as though he is there. And he's saying all the things that have happened. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down beside the still waters. In green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yet though I walk Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy. Again, you must speak David's words. Apart from Christ's words. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The earth is a single psalm. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Who has lifted up his soul unto vanity? Who has lifted up his soul unto vanity? Your soul deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord. Don't forget the blessing of the Lord. The righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek your face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors. That is a statement of victory. Lift up your head, O ye gates. You are lifted up everlasting. Ancient doors, actually. He's going back. He's using, historically, he's using the gates of the Jebusites. Unconquered. Nobody has conquered it. Strong, resolute. Over the years, he said, they lifted up you ancient doors. Victory is now. It's a statement of victory. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Right. He has gone to where the bulls of Bashan are, right? Abi, they've done everything, but the Lord is a shepherd. Now, he's victorious. Is it making sense? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the King of Glory, whoo, the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord what? Mighty in battle. So, you cannot have that resurrection story without mentioning battle. What Jesus did actually was that he warred. You saw that last time out, that he destroyed death. A lot of Hebrews will say, he destroyed death by dying. In Hebrews 2:14 and 15, I'll just read that very fast. For as much as the children themselves are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, he might destroy him that have the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were in all their lifetime subject to bondage. That is what he did in his resurrection. How much is it making sense now? So in the resurrection, it wasn't just that he died, then he went to sleep, then he came back. Mm-mm. He destroyed death by dying. He destroyed death by dying. So again, in David's monologue, he envisages the war, he envisages the help, and he envisages the victory. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? Alright. So, this makes sense. Because, if I'm reading this, the first person that comes to my head is Moses. Moses shouted something. He said, the Lord will arise and his enemies will be scattered. I know people sing it now, and then they use it for revival. The rise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered. Arise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered. Arise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered. Arise, O Lord, arise. That arise is resurrection. It's not like he's sitting down. Amen. He's saying in the resurrection, he will scatter his enemies. In the resurrection, because he is the Lord of hosts. Don't forget, as for our Redeemer, he is the Lord of hosts. Isaiah 47, that must ring. The one I just mentioned is Numbers 10, where Moses said, arise, O Lord. Let's look at it. Numbers 10. Are you learning something? Numbers 10. So you can, I think as you want to deceive yourself, you said, it's a book with a bias. The stories, the kings, the chronicles, they all speak about him. All of them. All of them. Nature. Day to day utter speech. Night to night shows knowledge. There is no speech, there is no language where the voices are not heard. There is no king. There is no kingdom where the voices are not heard. Alright, in Numbers 10 verse 35. Verse 34, let's have verse 35. And it came to pass when the ark set forward and Moses said, rise up, Lord, let your enemies be scattered. And let them that hate you flee before you. And when he rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Again, a prophet is talking. and he's talking about what is to happen. Speaking by the inspiration of God. Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies scatter. Let those who hate you, let them flee before you. Hallelujah. Amen. So salvation is victory over the enemy. The enemy, in the Genesis world, the enemy will be who? Sin and death. Come on, right? The day you eat of it, that's sin. Don't forget who said, eating will be a motion of faith or unbelief. Hey, glorious house church, come on. Come on, we are past that one. Hey, we are past that one. Eating, drinking, the emotions of faith or unfaithfulness. Have you? This is the true bread of God. If you eat of him, you will never hunger, right? And now we're talking about believing in him. That's John 6. In John 4, where he was talking about, we're talking to the woman, I'll give you everlasting waters. If you drink of it, you will never thirst again. So, eating, drinking, the emotions of faith. Matthew 26, on that table, of course, he told them, this is my blood. This is my body. Broken for you. Eat. That's believe. Alright. So again, that's the same theology of Genesis. The day you eat of it, that will be sin, unbelief, you will die. So the enemy will now be what? Sin and death. And immediately God was done with that. He said it's not good that man is alone. Immediately after that statement, it is not good for man to be alone. I will provide in the helper. The one who will war against who? Sin and death. Of course, because the enemy is in view. So we see that in the ministry of Jesus. So when he came, in the incarnation, how is he going to do this? How did Moses do it? How did Moses show victory? He will put his staff on the floor, right? And then Moses' serpent, right, in inverted commas, Moses' serpent will swallow every other. Victory is sure. Does it make sense? So you would always have physical demonstrations of that spiritual reality. Hope I'm not saying jargon. I'll say it again. You will have physical demonstrations of what is already real by the Spirit. What is real by the Spirit? The Yasha, the Ezar will come, he will dominate, and he will liberate. Abi, is that not what he will come to do? To destroy the work of the, say it in the Genesis 3, eh? The work of the serpent, nah, as I say it in Genesis 3. If you want to go to Matthew, we'll go to Matthew. If you want to go to Genesis, we'll go to Genesis. Is that clear? Anywhere you want to go to, the 66 books are ours. Hallelujah. What a privilege. Imagine not having Genesis to Malachi. We'll not, see the way we are going. You know, I would have loved to just use Genesis to Malachi. I'll do it one day. We'll not use Matthew too. But it will be looking conclusive somehow. Hallelujah. Because I'd like to see where he now came. Alright. Where Shiloh appeared. Alright, so we said, there will be physical demonstrations. Moses would come, who would part the sea. That's a physical demonstration of how faith helps win. And then the sea will close on Pharaoh. We have explained all of that, Abby. The faith is the bias. Who through faith subdued kingdoms? Hebrews 11. Abby? Who through faith stopped the mouth of lions? True faith. They used their hands to stop, but he said, true faith. What really stopped that lion's mouth? Samson would have just died. Of course, you now saw it in his life that there was nothing special. When he discovered, he now said, oh God, one last chance. So, all this why? Is because I was just an analogy. An analogy will not be analogy. And when the example is not working, what do? You remove it. Amen. Amen. When the example is not exampling, you will remove it as an example. God put Saul. When Saul was being like a bastard. Okay, this one. The kingdom is taken away from this one, I beg. bad example. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for this one. Let's go to another one. David. Amen. Why? The king is meant to show God's help. God is not going to appear on the scene. But you know what? The enemy will see David and they will say, who is this one? He is blessed of the Lord. He's the one who has God's presence. So, you will start seeing physical demonstrations of that spiritual reality. In the real sense, listen very well, the Philistines, they don't even have to die physically. God has already hid his face from them in their unbelief. Let's put it like this. Unbelief has hidden the face of God from them. I think that's a better way to put it. So, unbelief has already hidden God's face from them. Whether they die or not. I was talking to the prophet on Tuesday. And I said, you observe that the Potiphar I say Potiphar. The Pharaoh that did not know Joseph was the one that drowned. Abi? But you know, there was a Pharaoh before. The one that loved Joseph and everything. Did he die? Come on, did God do anything to him? Was he saved? We don't know. You get what I'm saying? So, you can have, if physical death is not the marker. Faith is the marker. That God's face on a man is the marker. Remember that song? I know your eyes are on your child. That is the marker. So, it's not that once you see someone die, and I say, God has hidden his face. No. God hid his face from Esau and he did not die. He was still chopping. He said to Jacob, he said, when Jacob was running, he said, Jacob, no, don't run away. I have cattle. See that Rolls Royce there? Let me get them. It's one of those toys. Someone got online, said, toys. Just, I bought another new toy. Give me toy, yo. Yeah. We don't have to use money. Yeah, one of those toys. So Esau was telling Jacob one of those toys. Yet, God's face is hid from him. In fact, eventually materialized. In Isaiah said, who is this that is coming from Edom? Who is this one? I can see a man, of course, by revelation. Isaiah said, I can see a man who is coming from Edom with a stained garment from Bozrah, stained with blood. He said, who is he? He said, he is the Lord of hosts. Isaiah 63. Let's look at this. Verse 1. Who is this that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in apparel. He is traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore thou art red in thy apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in wine fat. I have thrown upon the winepress alone. And of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in my anger, and I will trample upon them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. But observe, is coming from who? From where? From Edom. Edom is Esau. Edom is Esau. So eventually, you will see Esau destroyed. Don't forget in Obadiah. Obadiah himself almost cursed Esau. He said, how do you go after your brother like this? Which teaching was that? Where we looked at it? Salvation through faith? We looked at it before. Where Esau was going after Jacob. Or was it that the prophet? I think it's Jesus of Nazareth. The other prophecy is fine. Yes. Yes, yes. Yes, this is the one. So, when he said, look at how the prophet is saying it. In your head, you are looking for that man too. So who is this that come from Edom? And you are going to the last chapter. Oh God, calm down. He's speaking prophecy. That is, Esau will be destroyed. Yes, Esau was alive as was saying it. His tribe, of not Esau himself, his tribe was alive, they are still alive. But he's going to be telling you, he's going to be juxtaposing physical realities and spiritual realities. Who is this that comes from Edom? With a stained garment from Bozrah. Say, it is the Lord's. Ooh. Say, he's glorious in his apparel. He's moving in his strength. So, he said, you are going to have physical demonstrations of spiritual realities. So, how will Jesus, how would he do what Moses did? How would he show that victory? He will now heal the sick. So, in the healing of the sick, what is he doing? He is showing you the Redeemer. What will he do? He will destroy the works of the serpent. I don't get what I just said then. Eh? Alright, good. So, he healed the sick. Matthew 8. You're learning something. Verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, a great multitude followed him. And behold, there came a leper and washed him, saying, the Lord, if you will, make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will be clean. And immediately he was clean of his leprosy. And Jesus said unto him, see thou that you tell no man, go your way and show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Again, he is undoing the works of darkness to show the Lord of hosts. Is it making sense? Is this a physical demonstration of Genesis 3 promise? Eh? So how do we show God's power and God's victory on the earth today. We yield to seek too. Don't forget, through faith, we subdue kingdoms by the Holy Ghost. So, he will yield to seek in Matthew 9, verse 27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "You son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him and said, and Jesus said unto them, "Believe you that I am able to do this?" And said, "Oh, we believe, Lord." And he touched the eye, saying, "According to your faith, let it be unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know this." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Amen. And as they went out, behold, there brought a dumb man possessed of the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spoke. When the devil was cast out. Again, what is he doing? You will bruise his heel, but it will crush your head. When the devil was cast out, the dumb spoke. So, when you see the healing of the blind, the opening of deaf ears or stopping of deaf ears, that is a physical demonstration of the Lord of hosts, of the mighty man of war. Oh my God, that makes sense now. Eh? In the healing of the sick, in the raising of the dead, for example, look at Luke 11, you see Lazarus. But in Luke 7, very importantly, in the raising of the dead, Luke 7 verse 11, and it came to pass the day after, he went into a city called Nain, and many of the disciples went with him, and much people. Now, when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, "Don't weep." And he came and he touched the bier, and they that bore the son stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto you, arise." Arise. Of course, I explained the arise to you before. How Moses used that. Arise, O Lord, as the resurrection from the dead. And so, young man, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear up on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us. And that God has visited his people. So how do you know that God has visited his people? You will see the raising of the dead. Does it make sense? How do you know that God's power is present? You will see the dead being raised. You will see the blind seeing. You will see the lame walking. You will see the dumb talking by the Holy Ghost. You will see the deaf hearing. Hallelujah! We are in the days of his power. You believe that? We are in the days of his power. So, we have physical demonstrations of that great power of God. Physical demonstrations. In Matthew 9, verse 18, while he spoke these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hands upon her, and she shall live." And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, the woman who was diseased with issue of blood 12 years came behind him, and he touched his garment. For he said, "If I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole." But Jesus turned about and said, "Daughter, be of good comfort, your faith has made you whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. Again, in the healing of the sick, we see the power of God. So how do we know that the helper is here? The sick will be healed. How do we know that the helper is here? The dead will come back to life. How do we know that the helper, the redeemer, the Lord of hosts is with us? We are going to see the signs. Just like Moses. The sea will part. Just like Moses. The serpent will swallow it up. Amen. Amen. I don't care how many people have dark magic. Where you're going to preach God's kind of miracle, we swallow it up. We can have physical demonstrations of the power of God. Amen. Physical demonstrations. Tangible ones that you can touch. We can have tangible ones. So, the helper is visible. We saw him visible with Jesus. Learn something? In the casting out of demons. Don't forget, the enemy is sin and death. Next to that, the enemy will be the serpent, the devil, right? Right? So every time you usurp his works, every time you stop his works, every time you stand against him, what are you doing? you are showing God's help. You are showing that what you are reminding him is that the Ezer is here. We don't care about the enemy. The helper is now. In the casting out of demons, we see the power of God. In Mark 1, Mark chapter 1, verse 31. I'll start from verse 30. But Simon's wife's mother, lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and he took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city gathered at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because what? Say, the helper is here. So you can have physical demonstrations of that help. Forget the war now. The war is now with the dumb. Amen. The war is now with the blind. Is it making sense? So when we heal the sick, when we minister to the blind, when we lay hands on those who are not well, what are we doing? We are showing the help of God. We are showing the great power of God. Pray for me. We are showing the great power of God. Are you here? Look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Alright, Luke chapter 8. Verse 26. And there arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth unto the land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time. He wore no clothes, neither did he abode in any house, but in tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell before him. And with a loud voice he said, what do I have to do with you, Jesus, you Son of the Most High? How about that? Hallelujah. How about that for some recognition? What do I have to do with you? Because see, it's not a war that started now. Amen? It's not today. So, the darkness recognizes, what do I have to do with you? You, Jesus, Son of the Most High. Well, why are you here? I beseech you, don't torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes he had caught him, and he was kept bound by chains and fetters, which he broke by bands, and was driven out of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him and said, what is your name? And he said, the Legion, because the devils, many devils were entering him. And he besought him that he would not command him to go into the deep. And there was many of swines feeding on the mountain, and he besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. And then the devils went out of the man, and then into the swine, and they went to run voluntarily into the sea place, into the lake, and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what he had done, they fled and went to see what had happened in the city. Amen. Verse 36 says, those who saw it told him by any means that the person who was possessed of the devils was healed. Amen. He freed the man of demons. The same way he would free Israel from Egypt. From where darkness abound. In the casting out of demons, we show God's power. A believer must not be shy to cast out demons. God is on our side. Amen. This is where God's help is. When you wake up in the morning, you must realize it. Samson, David, Samuel, Jephthah, Gideon. They stopped the man of lions, not because they were strong. They stopped the man of lions by faith. By faith, they subdued kingdoms. By faith, they subdued kingdoms. So, where God's help is, there is victory. And one of the ways we show what he has done in the resurrection, one of the ways we show it on the earth today, is in the casting out of demons. Luke 11. In Luke 11 verse 14. And he was casting out the devil. And it was done, and it came to pass. When the devil was gone out, the dumb spoke. See that? When the devil was gone out, the dumb spoke. What has he done? He has destroyed the work of the devil. Is that the promise of Genesis? Eh? Is that what the prophet kept doing? Eh? That's what we do by God's power. But some of them said he has scattered the devils out by Beelzebub, the chief of devils. Another something he said, they sought for a sign from heaven. Over 17. Knowing their thoughts, he said, every kingdom that is divided against itself shall be brought to desolation. A house divided against itself will fall. If Satan be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you said, I cast the devils out by Beelzebub. If Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God, you got that. Why were they fighting? For kingdoms. The kingdom of God is come to you. So that means you see God's kingdom in the casting of devils. I know there are a lot of believers who just think, you know what, let's sleeping dog lie. There's nothing like a sleeping dog. Amen. The devil is not a sleeping dog. He's no sleeping dog. If you don't go for him, he'll come for you. He said, you know, I just want to live a good life with my husband and my wife. No, let me just, I just want wala. You cannot do God's work. Amen. You cannot be an Israel and expect Goliath not to show up. It is the story of Goliath. It is the history of Goliath. It is the history of the Syrians. They will keep showing up as the enemy of God. It is the history of blindness. It is the history of sickness. It is the history of demons. To turn a man's head. To feed a man's life. You see someone who used to be passionate about Jesus. And then suddenly his head start, thoughts start coming to his head. Different things start coming. And now he thinks he's so smart. And he's asking some questions. And you're wondering, what's happening? And then before you know, he said, I just want to be alone. I just want to be alone. And you think, what's happening to you? He said, I don't even think there's any God. And he said, a believer cannot be possessed. That's possession. What else is that one? He's possessed. What do? You cast out demons by the power of God. Is that clear? What do? You stand tall and you claim victory. In the place of prayer, with your words, you must not allow demons to breathe. Are you listening to me? Huh? In your outreaches, you must stand like a man with the great power of God. How many people here are with God's help on your side? Well, some are not. How many people are, you are with God's help on your side? I'm with God's help. In the morning, I'm with God's help. In the evening, I'm with God's help. When I talk, I'm with God's help. These hands are the hands of Jesus. These hands are the hands of the Redeemer King. These hands will provide help. These hands will liberate in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, a kingdom, if I with the finger of God cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you. So we see God's kingdom in the casting out of demons. In Luke 10, and I'll close with this one. Luke 10. In verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 people and he sent them out 2 by 2 before his face to every city where himself would come. So they went to preach. In verse 17, when the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are what? They are subject to us through your name. Say it for yourself. Even the devils are subject to me. Say. Even the devils are subject to me through your name. Through your name. Even the devils are subject to me through your name. That is how we show God's dominance. That's how we show God's help. It's not enough to have God's help. You must show it. David had it. And when all the soldiers were running behind, and they were hiding, you know what David said? A man with God's help cannot hide. He says, who is this one? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I don't have swords. I don't have spears. But I have help. I don't have swords. I don't have arrows. I've got help. When I go on outreaches, I'm not going with empty words. I'm not going there blabbing. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in what he has done. Amen. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. That is maximum authority. He said, the nations will bow to him. That's what Psalm 22 said. All the nations will bow to him. So you're not going there representing a nobody. You're standing for the king. Amen. You're what? You're standing in for the king. So they told him, even the devils were so interested in him. What did Jesus say? He said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I've explained that to you before. It's not like Satan is falling from heaven. You know, people have said, that means that Satan fell from heaven. He said, as lightning, as something that reveals, I see Satan fall. Amen. As lightning from heaven. That is, this is a revelation from heaven. Satan is falling. So, we see the fall of Satan when we cast out devils. As lightning from heaven, Satan is falling. You must remind yourself. I know, sometimes you are the quiet type. Well, the quiet type can cast out demons. Amen? The quiet type can show God's power on the earth. These are days for his power. Holy Ghost power. These are days for the power of the Lord. These are times for his stories. Amen. Healings and miracles and glory. Amen. These are times for the power of the Lord. You believe that? Tell yourself. You see, you just tell yourself often. Oh, like lightning from heaven. I see Satan fall. As I preach and teach, I see Satan fall. Demons are subject to me in your name. Thank you, Jesus. 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 I've told you before, when I want to preach somewhere one time, and as I was about to preach, one was saying, against me, they were trying to mock and, you know, intimidate another. I was quite young. They were trying to intimidate me. And I told the woman, yesterday, this so happened to you and all of that. And how did you know? And last 2 weeks, and the other woman wanted to start going. I said, you to come. He said, no, me, I'm not against you. I said, ha. You don't have to be against me. Come and sit down. Come and listen. Hallelujah. We are the words with the word of life. You can't have God and you are the one that is now. You are the one that is saying, if you don't want to hear, maybe you hear tomorrow. No. Hello? Sit down. Let's talk. Hallelujah. He's the king that sent you. Hallelujah. Imagine Moses went to Pharaoh. And he said, let my people go. It's not me, I'm just saying, it's what they say, let my people go. Amen? He said, throw down your staff. And he said, no, that's not how you do it. You enter the room like God sent you there. Amen. Amen. You enter there like God sent you. You talk like God sent you. You pray like God sent you. Because he sent you. Hallelujah. So they are physical. There are physical demonstrations of that spiritual victory. Say, I see Satan fall. I see Satan fall. And he must fall every time. Amen. What did I say? He must what? Stand up on your feet. Every time. Look at Romans 16 as you stay on your feet. Romans 16. See what Paul told the church in Rome. As he was closing. This is what the church must live for in verse 20. He says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan
under your feet shortly.
Amen.
Because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you. You believe that for yourself. It says the Lord of peace. he called it like Lord of peace as though it's not war we are going to. Because you're talking about abusing someone under your feet. Hallelujah.
Enough of demo-Christian. Enough of, Christianity that is just here and there. Glory, glory.
We can have what the... Hallelujah. We can have what the apostles have.
I love what Reinhard Bonnke said. Reinhard Bonnke said something yesterday. He said the acts of the apostles does not have an end.
We are still acting it now.
Amen. The miracles have not come to an end. In that street that you go to, the miracles have not come to an end. There's still power. Holy Ghost power. And I receive for myself tonight physical demonstrations of the great power of God. I have God help on my side. I've got the Savior on my side. Faith is my advantage. And so I go to win, to dominate the heads of the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Every soul out there belongs to Jesus. Demons will not try wherever I am. Sickness will not try wherever I am. Death will not reign wherever I am. We receive massive demonstrations. We receive massive demonstrations of the glory of God and His power on the earth. And shortly, the God of peace will bring Satan under my feet. All right, go ahead and pray for yourself tonight. Oh yes, Lord. The Lord of us is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. With his baton from Edom, with a stained garment from Bosra, he is the Lord of us. He is the one who wins. He is the vanquished. His victory is mine. His win is mine. His boldness is mine. I am bold and courageous to stand in the name of Jesus against every work of darkness, against the serpents. These are days for His power. Holy Ghost power. Holy Ghost power. Like the apostles saw it. The helper is here. The helper is here. The helper is here. The helper is here. We walk into that room like God sent us. We stay on that street like God sent us. We will talk like God sent us. We will act like God sent us. Because He sent us. I am not like Saul. I am not weak. I am not weak. Like David, I will stand and face the Philistine and say, who are you? The God of Israel. The God of the armies of Israel. I am blessed. My hands are blessed. My words are blessed. My cell is blessed. My work is blessed. My ministry. My fellowship with the Father. My demonstration of the supernatural. I will heal the sick like never before. Oh yes, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. Above the great power of God. This is my year of the great power of God.
This is my year of the great power of God. This is my year of the great power of God. I walk in it. I walk in it. I talk in it. I talk in it. I see in it. I don't talk like a man who has no help. I don't speak like a man who has no help. I speak like the anointed of God. I show His glory in all the earth. I speak like a man of God. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Every opposition to the spread of the gospel in the mind and in the heads. We say give way. Paul says, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Pulling down strongholds. Pulling down strongholds. The blessing of God is upon my work. I'm not like Saul. I go with the blessing. And I challenge the darkness. Like lightning from heaven, I'll see Satan fall every time. I'll see Satan fall every time. When I carry my Bible to preach, when I open my mouth to teach, I'll see Satan fall every time. He'll fall every time. Bruised under my feet. 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 Lord God, Jesus. Under my feet. Under my feet. Like lightning from heaven. The acts of the gospel. The result of the power of God. They accompany my ministry. I don't do it empty. I don't do it empty. Power! Every time I step out, power! When I say leave, it will leave. When I say heal, it will heal. When I say stand, when I say sit, when I say stretch, when I say see, Lord God, Jesus. When I say walk, he will walk. Under my feet. Under my feet. The God of Jacob is here. The governor of the nations. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Let the King of glory come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. Start to see those places. Start to see those places. Start to see those people. The result of God's power accompanying me, my work. Amen. We are still praying. Turn Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
Verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am buried among you, but being absent, I'm bold towards you. When I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present, that with that confidence, wherewith I think be bold against some, we think of us that walk according to flesh. Verse 3, very important. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Amen. So, he's talking about the preaching of the gospel. He says, you are not fighting flesh. If you think that in the preaching of the gospel and ministry, if you think that time that you just lost appetite to pray, you think it's normal, it's not. I've grown to know some. Time is not. Amen. It's not normal to just feel like not serving God. It's not normal. Paul is giving you insight. He said, we don't war after the flesh. We don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We have a teaching on this. The weapons of our warfare. Go listen to it again. Is that clear? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not normal. They are not physical. It's mighty through God. He says, casting down imaginations and every item that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. That's what we want to see in our churches. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To bring into captivity every thought. We bring it to captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Amen. Those who have had the devil, put them in bondage for years. Put them in bondage for years. Will liberate by the power of the Holy Ghost. Myself and Brother was laughing about one. What day was that? Wednesday? No, Tuesday. Right? We're going to the bank. And we're laughing. It was just a joke. There was this person that was very sick. And it was almost like the issue of blood. Abi? Lose blood and then come back. And then we normal. They go to the hospital normal. And then the next 3 to 4 days, we lose blood again. And go very thin. Almost like cancer. And then they will treat and the blood will come back again. And then we lose blood. And the person came to me and said, come and pray for me. So I sent Brosola. Because when you send people like that, you are praying yourself. Hallelujah. I said, go and pray. And of course, I can't even remember after that time. It was just that day I was asking that, what happened to the person? It's fine. Hallelujah. It's fine now. That's what we have. Hallelujah. We don't care what the devil has planned to do. We've got plans. Amen. Amen. Under my feet. Paul says the weapons are often the carnal. Don't think it's normal. It's not normal to get into a place and people don't want to hear Jesus. It's not normal. It's called good news. It's the joy of every nation. So when they don't want to hear, something has happened. You are fighting someone. Hallelujah. You are doing what? You are fighting someone. And you will not lose. Because the helper doesn't lose. Don't forget, the sota wins every time. Amen. Amen. The sota does what? He wins every time. And we are his arms on the earth. Hallelujah. So we win every time. It's either we win or we win. Hallelujah. So you pray again. We will bring every imagination. We cast out everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Everything that the devil has put in the path. Sometimes it's not just for us, for other churches that are preaching. Amen. For other servants of God. Sometimes the devil puts traps in everywhere. But we are victors. Hallelujah. We don't lose. We don't lose. We are sensitive. And we are winners. Go ahead and pray. You have just 1 minute. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God. The Holy Ghost is our advantage. The signs of the gospel. If these signs are for those that believe, they will cast out devils. They are following me. Shortly the Lord of peace shall bring Satan under my feet. Don't call Jesus. Don't call Jesus.
Ribado Shambata, Ebro Totoro, Ingana Malebede Boto, Ebro Bosso Bedeberi, Ribadera Galabata, Asopa Popoto, Areke Teke Teke Tebo, Ribaba Deke 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 Deke